brothers and sisters, our scripture reading from the New Testament is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6. Please listen for the word of God. Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in synagogues and on street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moths and rust may consume them, and thieves may break in and steal them. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves cannot break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please bow with me in prayer. Gracious and merciful God, your word has set before us as an example. Please help us to clear our minds of all the clutter and listen for the word therein. We pray this in your holy name. Amen. Tonight is an invitation. It is Ash Wednesday. It is an opportunity for us to listen once again to the voice of God. We come here on Sundays too, though, our normal day for worship, our Sabbath, and we listen then for the voice of God. So what is different about today? The start of this Lenten season, it's a time for us to listen even deeper. It's a time for us to enter into deeper discipleship. If you choose, ashes will be placed on your forehead as a sign of our individual and communal commitment to repentance and discipleship in Jesus Christ. The ashes will also serve as a reminder of our mortality and our willingness to pick up our crosses and enter into Christ's death and resurrection. In Deuteronomy 6, God invites the people to take God's words and bind them on their hands, to mark them on their foreheads, to write them on their doorposts and on their gates. Tonight we will mark our foreheads with our shared commitments. This is a reminder to us that we are marked by God, that this outward symbol of our discipleship represents the word of God in our human existence. They remind us that we were formed from the dust and that to dust we shall return. We are from the earth, breathed life from where? From God. Otherwise we would still be but dust and earth. They are a symbol of our connection not only to the earth and to God, but to one another. The ashes are a symbol of death itself. We will be more fully alive in God as we participate in this ritual, which for us begins the Lenten season. When Jesus went off into the desert to prepare himself for the Passover, he knew that he needed to do something different. He needed to remove himself from the busyness and the clutter of everyday life, from the people who were surrounding him, looking for things, needing healing, asking questions, wanting teaching. He needed to do something different. He set himself aside from the people who needed him the most. We're not asked to do anything quite that drastic these days. But each of us, in our own way, looks to do something different for the Lenten season. Now, for those of us who were raised Catholic, we were taught to do certain things. Not to eat meat on Fridays or on Ash Wednesday during the season of Lent. One of the reasons, one of the challenges that I always had when I was growing up, was that why am I doing something for this 40-day period that I'm going to go back to doing again on Easter Monday? If I'm being called to change my life and to become a disciple of Christ, wouldn't it be better for me to change a behavior, whether it be to try to undo a negative behavior or to adopt a positive behavior that I can carry forth with me into the rest of my life? Something that will show me to be a changed and marked person. Remember in the book of Micah that we read, "What does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God?" How are you doing that? If we're all invited in this Lenten season to enter into a deeper commitment with Christ, we need to consider how that looks. Not only in the mirror when we look at ourselves, but to one another. Will people know when they look at you that you are a changed person? Will you know that you're a changed person? And will God, your Father who sees in secret, know that you are a changed person? Traditionally, Lent is a time of fasting and almsgiving, of special church attendances, but there is also that spiritual discipline, and that's what I'm referring to. You know the things that you can do for yourself and for your community, for this congregation, that will show that you are a marked and changed person, a disciple of Christ. You may want to do something extra, something you've been thinking about doing, something that God may have placed on your heart that you have been very decidedly ignoring. It's not going to go away. Trust me. He's very persistent. And he will just keep poking at you until you finally say, "Okay, I got it." Forgive someone who needs to be forgiven. Pick up the phone and call someone that you haven't spoken to in ages to mend a relationship. Reach out and give something of yourself. Not just that, even in these economic times, that $20 or $50 that you can well afford to give to someone in need, but something that actually costs you something. Something that makes you squirm a little bit in your comfort zone and say, "I'd really rather not, even though I know it's the right thing to do." Has everybody got some little idea of something that they could be doing? Yes? Could be you. I knew someone was paying attention. Thank you. Desmond Tutu has a wonderful quote on forgiveness, and I am going to read it to you so that I don't butcher his words. He says this about forgiveness. Forgiving and being reconciled are not about pretending that things are other than they are. It is not patting one another on the back and turning a blind eye to the wrong. True reconciliation exposes the awfulness, the abuse, the pain, the nightmare. It could even sometimes make things worse. It's a risky undertaking, but in the end, it is a worthwhile undertaking because dealing with the real situation helps to bring about healing. Reconciliation is what we are called to do. We can commit to one another in this Lenten season to be reconciled not only to others in our lives, but to God and to ourselves. There are people, if not in this room, certainly in this community, in this world, that really need to forgive themselves. We work very hard at forgiving other people and at asking God to forgive us. But we are very hard on ourselves. What is the invitation? Not just for tonight, but for every single Sunday. Anybody? Jesus says it over and over and over again in the scriptures and in the gospels. Not you, Rosanna. Anybody else? What is the invitation? Sorry? That's it. And actually, you added a little chore in there as well. Tonight, lift up your cross. But the invitation throughout everywhere, if you think about it, is follow me. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me, he said to the young rich man who said, how can I get into the kingdom of heaven? How did he answer all those who would be disciples? Follow me. Leave the dead to bury their dead. Follow me. That's all you have to do is follow. Walk behind him and follow him. There is so much grace and love there, so much forgiveness, so much reconciliation, but we have to at least be in the proximity of the one who is willing to lay down his life for us, the one who sacrificed everything. And in his humanity and divinity, knelt in the Garden of Gethsemane and said, is there any other option here? Please, is there another way? And the answer was no, because he knew there was a tough road to go. But if we follow Jesus, if we answer that call, listen to the invitation and respond, we're putting ourselves right on the path of where we need to be. And it starts by being here tonight. Follow me. I'm not asking you to go into a desert for 40 days, neither is Jesus. I'm not saying that you should isolate yourself from everyone else that you know. But something in this next 40 days, actually, or 35, we were trying to figure out what that count was before the service started. Between now and Good Friday, when God made the ultimate sacrifice for you, and you, and you, every single individual here, can you change something about yourself so that your Father who sees in secret will know and your treasures will be stored up in heaven? They are there. But there's only one road to take. There's this little town in Labrador, Canada, that for the longest time was isolated from everything around it, because it was so deep in the wilderness. It took them years to build a road, and I couldn't tell you how long the road is to get into the town and then back out of the town. There's only one road that the county was able to put in. So when you go into that road, the only way you can get back out is to turn around and come back down the same path. I once heard a minister say that we were born into a town much like that, because we were born into sin. And when we go down the road into sin by our humanity, the only way for us to get back out is to make a U-turn and come back down the same road. We must turn ourselves around. If that's all you can do in the next 40 days, starting tonight, you've made a heck of a start on answering the invitation, on responding to the call to follow me. What is your answer? Will you follow him? Will you do things the easy way or the hard way? And sometimes that's just human nature. I got this watch at work today for being at work for my 3-year anniversary at hospice. It's a very nice watch, and it has a date on it. The date was set to the 2nd. Today is the 25th. Would it not have been easy, had I thought this out, to go backwards to the 25th from the 2nd? No. I went all the way up. And it was up to like the 19th before somebody said to me, why didn't you just go the other way? Well, I didn't think of it. I went forward. That's what we do. The impetus is for us to continue on in the same path that we're on. So your challenge tonight is to take a different path, to do something differently so that you can end up different. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.